Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M footy starts your weekend early.
How good is footy?
With every massive moment.
When you're hot, you're hot.
This
couldn't be more excited.
Is the Thursday Rub.
I'll just talk about myself and we'll be all right.
Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops, proud sponsors of the St Kilda Saints. Drink responsibly.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
From top to bottom, round six is an absolute cracker. So many games that mean so much for teams early in the season. And we started the right way tonight with the Saints and the Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium. And we start your week the right way, or your weekend the right way, I should say, with the Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel, this group that has come together at the start of the season. Just slowly but surely, we're starting to put something very, very nice together. I'm Jack Heverin. The team is all assembled. I start, of course, with the Queen of Triple M Footy, Kate McCarthy, the All-Australian. She's on podcasts. She's everywhere. She's doing anything and everything in this media sphere that we live and work in. K-Mac, good to see you.
Yeah, Jack, good to be here. And yes, like a good team, we didn't do any sort of preseason. We just rolled in round zero and we've put it all together and building nicely into round six now.
I think we are. We've got the four-time premiership star, Isaac Smith. I think now, even though it is only round six, it's just about the unbackable favourite for the AFL Media Rising Star for 2024. Is he? Good evening.
Is that an award, is it?
We just made it up.
Yeah, right. I feel a little bit underdressed tonight. The two blokes in the front row, one we'll mention in a minute, and yourself, Jack, have rolled in with the old nits on.
And Rabsy, right, eh?
Oh, Rabsy had the big long coat like he was walking down the Champs-Élysées in Paris. Mm. He was looking very suave.
Real sort of underbelly sort of stuff for Rabsy as he rolled in tonight. I was a bit worried what was in that trench coat. Jay-Z Clark, always immaculately dressed. He is, of course, the head of the throne at the Herald Sun. Jay-Z, evening.
Thank you, Jack. Good evening, everyone. Like at the start of a good cricket innings, you're meant to play through the V and keep it pretty straight, eh? And just sort of pick off the ones and twos, maybe a leg glance, etc. We got Isaac. He's slashing cut shots for four. He's big hook shots over the boundary as well. So we've been off to a flying start largely because you've just been flaying them left, right and centre, Isaac. So we've been enjoying your work. Well done.
Well, thank you. I'll keep trying hard. Or not trying at all, one or the other.
I'll just keep rotating the strike.
That's what us three do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Jay and I'll just sit here with the pads on waiting to have a bat at some point during the day. Brendan Goddard's going to join us a little bit later on from the Saints. Hopefully he's in a good mood before the bounce as well. He'll join us a little bit closer on. Mention how good a round of footy this is. Normally we start with a bit of a laugh off the top and we'll get there, but I don't think you can walk past how good this round is. As I mentioned, from top to bottom, even though North Melbourne and Hawthorn,
it'll be a draw.
Well, there's a different story about that game, but I'm really excited for this round of footy, K-Mac.
Yeah, a few surprises coming in too, looking at who's sort of favourites, who's not. The one that I can't believe is that Carlton are starting favourites against GWS. So the outsiders, the team that's undefeated at the moment. I know they've got a few injuries, but yeah, you look through the lineup and there's just game after game that's just a perfect matchup. Obviously, over in Western Australia, we've got the Derby, however you say it. Not sure which one they're going with, but
I think they're the Derby, are they?
The Derby?
They're the Derby, are they?
The Derby. See, we don't even know.
You've just confused things even more.
Anyway, it's a great round of footy.
Anyway. Yeah, it's great. I can't wait for this round. And I mean, even I think with the Carlton Giants game, Jay, I think Kate's right. I think we learn whether the Giants are genuinely the best team in it, which I certainly think they are. And we learn a bit about Carlton and where they fit in the scheme of things.
Yeah, it's a massive round, and you're right. I mean, Carlton, their balloon got popped last week, didn't they, against Adelaide. So they'll be needing to bounce back. It's interesting in the ruck. They brought back Mark Pitney after rucking Tommy DeConing solo. So that's an interesting shift. Pitney potentially slows him down a little bit. So that will be interesting to see what happens there.
Not happy with his leg speed?
For mine, no. Well, I think that with DeConing, he provides a mobility and agility and more sort of flexibility, where I think Mark Pitney is that sort of, a different dimension. He's been signed long-term for the Blues. I just think that's a really interesting selection point.
They might need him against Briggs, though, because Pitney probably throws his weight around a little bit more than DeConing.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, but I think the whole what value you gain from a ruckman and their hit out is an absolutely fascinating one. And coaches and clubs have different philosophies depending on, you know, who they've got and where they've got. How did you find it? Because at Hawthorn throughout your premiership era, you guys had foot soldiers as ruckman. Clarko never believed in the top tier ruckman.
Yeah, well, there was a great article during the week. It just wasn't in the Herald Sun.
Wait a minute. You read other papers?
And it talked about the ruckman and the couple of rule changes that they've had and the effect that ruckman are having and which ruckman are having the best effect in the competition. And at the moment, it's the big, ugly strongmen. They're the ones that are having the effect in footy at the moment with the numbers.
One that is playing quite well is Rowan Marshall, and he's not ugly for sure.
Yeah, right.
You're happy with him, Kate?
Oh, I wouldn't say he's ugly. He doesn't really fit the mould.
He's no Bailey Smith.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not a ruck.
A bit disappointed Bailey's not running out tonight, to be honest. But anyway, no, so it's fascinating. And when we were at Hawthorn, yeah, we didn't have your so-called superstar ruckman. And it probably wasn't until they went and spent a fair bit of money on to go and get Ben McAvoy that you got one of those A-grade type ruckman in. But his best work wasn't done in the tap ruck. It was done around the ground. So, yeah, we had a strong philosophy on what we wanted out of our ruckman and certainly what Clarko wanted out of a ruckman, and it served us well. But other coaches have different ideas, and it probably wasn't until Max Gawn won the 2021, was it?
Yep.
Premiership?
Yep.
That your genuine superstar ruckman was effectively, you know, your best player in the finals.
It's interesting you bring this up because we're going to see a ruckman tonight in Tim English, who is out of contract at the end of the season. There's a really, really big offer from the West Coast Eagles. Jay, they're chips in on having Tim English, but then
might be a couple of chips out now.
Well, this is the thing. There are some other clubs who, like you pointed out, don't necessarily value a ruckman clearly like the Eagles do.
English is under the pump tonight. I mean, he was absolutely destroyed by the Bombers' big man last night. And you're right, the price tag, he's interesting. He's been holding out on a deal. He needs to respond tonight. There's clearly going to be a big spotlight on him, and he'll need to deliver because, as you say, Rowan Marshall's been one of the most informed ruckmen of the competition of the past 18 months. But you mentioned this round of footy, Jack, the big story is going to unfold in front of us over the next 3 hours. Like,
yeah.
The Western Bulldogs have been a club under siege, let's be honest, over the past 5 days. I was in the press conference with Luke Beveridge on Friday night after that loss to Essendon. It was hard to really make much sense of where he thought the football club was at. And, I mean, certainly there is a real strong belief or suspicion that not everyone is on the same page at the kennel. And we know that at football clubs, and you guys would know a lot better than me, you need alignment. And that doesn't feel like that's really what's happening behind the scenes there. So what Bulldogs we get tonight, Kate McCarthy, it is anyone's guess.
No, I think you're exactly right. And I think all you have to do is look at the list strategy over the last 12 months, 18 months, who they've re-signed, who they've sort of, I guess, put in to trade across to the team.
James.
What's that, sorry?
Or Rory Lobb.
I think
James
anyone,
Arms.
Even just re-signing players like Jack McRae, Caleb Daniel, things like that, who are clearly now not able to be selected because of where the senior coach thinks the team is at. So if your list management and your senior coach or your coaching group, doesn't necessarily mean it's Luke Beveridge, the coaching group on a whole, they look like they're on completely different pages. So how can the head coach or the coaching group take the team out that they actually aren't that confident in because of what they've sort of signed player-wise the season before or the season after, and then work in a way that's not coherent? So that's the thing that I think just speaks volumes. Looking at what they've done, looking at who's playing tonight, and looking at where their big picture is, it just doesn't all line up.
I'm not privy to the inner workings of the Western Bulldogs, but if the players are sensing that there is some sort of alignment issue at the club or certain other issues that are creeping up that are getting
attention.
Yeah, that's getting spoken about in the public forum. If they're feeling that, then they'll start to question each other. They'll start to question the coach. They'll be wondering what the board and what the CEO, what decisions they're going to be making. So those conversations, even though people will think that no, they're just fully engaged, or the coach or assistant coach might be like, no, they're fully engaged. Those locker room conversations start to happen.
Have you ever played in self-preservation mode? So you've played one of the most successful careers of anyone we know. Did you ever get to self-preservation mode? Or how does a good club stamp that out?
No, I never got to self-preservation mode. There were certainly games where you'd run out and you'd think, we have to perform today.
Yeah.
And the pressure's on. We felt that big time, I reckon, in 2013 after we lost the 2012 grand final.
Yep.
We knew that there'd be changes at the end of that year if we didn't win the premiership. So there was a lot of pressure around that. But I wouldn't say, and I was so fortunate, I think maybe two or three times in my whole career we missed finals. So it wasn't the pressure that I reckon some of these players would be feeling tonight.
The other thing too that I can't help but wonder, and you two have been around playing groups for a long time, and Jay, you've been covering footy forever. But when you start, when you've got a group that's been together for a long time, like the Bulldogs have, and you start playing Jack McRae in the VFL, and you start playing Caleb Daniel in the VFL, and then Jack McRae comes in as a sub, and Bailey Dale's a sub. So when you've got a core group that have been together for as long as they have, and you start to see some of those moves going on, it's inevitable that the players talk amongst themselves, isn't it?
I just want to jump in and say I felt different pressures to what these guys would be feeling, not harder or softer pressures, in the sense that the pressure to perform and the pressure to perform in finals, I feel like would outweigh this pressure because everything's on the line. So just to clarify that. And then going to your point, the biggest thing is, and Clarko was really good at articulating this, the biggest thing is if the coach loses the locker room, the coach is then in trouble, because once he loses the players, and it's not, he could lose player 36, 37, 42 on a list, and I don't want to sound elitist or disrespectful, but that's probably irrelevant. Mm. But if he's and I don't know who the kingpins are in the change room at the Western Bulldogs, I'm guessing Bont's one of them.
Well, I would suggest Caleb Daniel is being semi-pushed out.
Yeah, so then if Caleb is one of the biggest and loudest voices and one of the strongest personalities,
he's Libba's best mate. He's Libba's best mate.
Then that starts to then create little fractures that are hard to rein back in. And they're hard for a coach then to justify to other players. And if Libba and him are best mates, to me, Libba's all Western Bulldogs and it wouldn't matter what happens. He'd be head over it. But yeah, you start to see those fractures occur.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the majority of the locker room, it's sort of majority rules, I suppose. And you're not being disrespectful saying players 35, 36, 37, because it's the nature of the beast. Those players either move up the ranks in their playing club, or they get delisted, or they trade out, or they end up somewhere else. So that's absolutely not disrespectful. It's just what happens in our industry. But it is the big dogs, so to speak, or the loudest voices that are the ones that pull the weight. And they're the ones that if you sort of start to move to the right and the coach moves to the left and the majority of the group goes that way, you've got some disconnect happening. And I'm not saying that that's happening at the Bulldogs, not at all, but that's the culture of a locker room and the culture of a football club is that's what it's dependent on.
Well, I asked a player at the end of last season how the footy club's been. He said it's been really tense. So I don't know how you got any chance of playing your best footy when you're walking on eggshells, which I feel like has been happening at the kennel. You talk to managers and you talk to list managers about the player market situation at the moment, and I reckon there's about eight clubs currently inquiring about Caleb Daniel. Angus Brayshaw has left Melbourne. I think Caleb Daniel will be the perfect replacement for him at the Demons. I think he comes from South Adelaide. I think Port Adelaide would be right in his hitting zone. And we know that clubs like to talk to players in that mid-season bye. So this is an important 4 weeks, I think, for Caleb and others at the Western Bulldogs, because if they can't get it right, then there will be a significant shake-up at the end of the year. And we know Bailey Smith has probably already got one foot out the door, whether it's to Collingwood, to Geelong, or to Hawthorn. So it's high stakes at the moment, and tonight will be significant. We'll talk to BJ Goddard a little bit later tonight, but I just wonder whether they might cop the Saints at the right time, because they got short, but back-to-back short breaks, 5-day breaks. How much does that take out of your legs?
A lot.
Is it?
You just gave me the eyes before.
Did I?
A little bit nervous.
Why?
Well, I think...
What sort of eyes?
He didn't like me jumping in there. He sort of looked back.
No, I didn't. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, sure.
Everything all right? Have you had a good week, Joe?
That's not even the eyes.
You haven't even seen the eyes.
I felt like one of his kids there.
Might have been my lazy eye.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
Seriously good round of footy this one, and it starts at Marvel Stadium with the Saints and the Western Bulldogs. It's the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel, Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy, JC Clark and Jack Heverin. We've got Brendan Goddard to join us in about half an hour from now. Is your award-winning segment coming back this week, Kate?
Well, I think it is, yeah.
You haven't been told it's not?
Well, yeah, but that's always good and bad, you know. If you don't get it confirmed, it might not be, but if you haven't heard anything, it could be good.
Is this the don't call us, we'll call you
sort of thing? Yeah, no news is good news, but we'll see.
Jay-Z's news not too far away as well, but just before the break, I did pose a question, a bit of a chance for anyone to get anything off their chest, a bit of a cleansing session, if you will, of has anyone done anything extracurricular this week on a podcast or whatever that they want to talk about?
Didn't know where you were going with that.
Now, I must admit, Jay, it wasn't directed at you, but you got very nervous all of a sudden.
No, I'm interested to know what you've got up your sleeve, Jack.
No. Let's deal with you first.
I got nothing. I want to know what you've
Tell
got.
Tell us why you were nervous.
Nothing. I'm all good.
Did it have something to do with planes?
No. Oh, go, Jack.
What was the thing before the break? He said, oh,
go,
it's
Jack.
Not the Bomber Thompson thing. So, of course, the three of us all said, what's the Bomber Thompson thing?
I've forgotten.
We'll find it.
If you don't tell us, we'll get the audio.
I'm waiting for your
it's
segment.
It's not that hard to find. Now, it did come into my podcast feed, though, today that the Queen, Kate McCarthy, did a little podcast with Dane Swan and Racetrack Ralphie, Swanee and Friends. Good podcaster who tune in from time to time. Said some nice things about Triple M, but I must admit, I was a little flat by the end of it.
No, I love the guys that I work with at Triple M. They've been nothing but supportive, which has been great. Just fit in really well, enjoy the vibe at Triple M too. Just take the piss a little bit and have a bit of fun with the boys and have a bit of banter. So, yeah, it fits in really well with me. Isaac Smith's come on that. He's fit in seamlessly.
Yes.
And then obviously your good mate that you like to punch in the head a few times, Daisy.
How is he?
Yeah, he's great.
Is he recovered from the beating I gave him?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, okay. He's getting there. He's a great guy, so I felt a bit sorry for him.
Isaac Smith gets a mention. He's been in the game for about 15 seconds. Daisy Thomas gets a mention a little later on the podcast. Adam Cooney gets a mention. Old two first names, Cam Luke, got a mention at one stage in the podcast.
They asked who I worked with at Channel 7. That's why they'd got a mention.
Oh, what are we, Jay-Z? Are we chopped liver?
We are. There's a big, the footy media is a big, beautiful fish tank. And there's lots of very bright, colourful, tropical, expensive fish. And then there's the six small ones in the corner, right, who just sort of get fed occasionally. That's us. Right? So you've got to know your... Know your role inside the fish
feed
tank.
Feed on mud, you do. Yes.
That's where I've come from, and look at me now. So you guys are there, and I'm flying high with all of these guys, so you can get stuck. Stay back there. When you're colourful fish, you'll drop my name as well.
I was really excited. I saw it come up, and I had a listen today in the office and thought, oh, this would be good, and there's nothing, just absolutely nothing. Couldn't have been any flatter if I possibly
could. Well,
tried.
Jack, I don't need to talk about you publicly. You know the bond that we share. We're great friends. I don't need to
don't
go around.
Don't grumble me down. Don't want to hear it.
There's no point coming.
You make your bed, you lie in it. Stand by it, Kate.
And how are you two going, by the way? Because you're spending a bit of time together during the week, Isaac and Kate, working on a show at the moment.
Yeah.
Everything going well there?
I think so.
Yeah, I've
got to mention in the podcast.
Yeah.
What are you learning about each other?
Oh, I think we just love to smile, love to laugh around each other. He makes me laugh a lot, whether he means to or not. So, it's great. I'm really enjoying working with him. I think I thought Daisy took the piss out of everything, but I've never met a man that took the piss more, and Isaac does that, and, yeah, it's good fun.
Jay-Z, what's the Bomber Thompson thing?
Nothing.
What? I can't believe how quiet he's gotten. This is an audio medium, Jay. You need to talk on radio.
I'm listening to your story.
For everyone out there, he's writing down on a page right now. I'm not sure if he's writing in English or Mandarin. Story. I don't know what.
I'm just getting ready for the team segment, Jack.
Well, I cannot understand one word on that.
Yeah, page. It's tricky.
I feel like it's that scene out of Billy Madison where he's writing all the names of the people that he wants to square up with. Yeah. I'm right at the top right now.
And me for not mentioning him.
Just on the teams. We'll go through all of the news very, very shortly. We've got a couple of minutes, though, before we head to the break. Anything jumping out from the teams that have just been announced?
Yeah, so Carlton versus GWS in Lachie Cowan and Lewis Young for the Blues out. McGovern and Saad, we know, with those two hamstrings. And Brisbane versus Geelong. We'll get to that Charlie Cameron controversy, of course. And some really strong comments from Chris Scott in the news seg. But in Jake Collard-Jasny, Dangerfield Hawkins and Toby Conway for the Cats out. Sullivan Tui, Shannon Neal, and Reece Stanley.
My boy's back.
Managed.
Yep, your boy Toby Conway.
Which one?
Back.
Toby.
Yep. So Dangerfield back into that midfield and Tom Hawkins as well. Geez, they're going absolutely beautifully, the Cats. It's going to be a very interesting game at the Gabba.
It's a great weekend. I reckon you find out a lot, and we've spoken about a lot of teams, and we'll find out a bit about Brisbane and Geelong on Saturday night. But the one for me is Port Adelaide v Collingwood.
Yep.
They've sort of absolutely rolled some of the middle of the road teams, but they're getting Collingwood on a Saturday afternoon, sun shining at the MCG. this is the game they'd want to perform in.
Yep.
And I think we find out a lot about Port Adelaide. Their backline strong, their midfield strong. Their forward line is their Achilles heel, and I think Ken Hinckley knows that. And to get that firing at the G, that'd be something they'd be very happy with.
Sorry, Kate, you guys know better than me, but the midfield battle of Rosie, Butters and Horn Francis versus Dacos, Pendlebury, who's back, and DeGoey as well. I think last time they played at the MCG, Collingwood torched them by 70 points. I don't think it's going to be that big a buffer this time.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Big night for the Saints, big night for the Western Bulldogs. We've spoken about it already. It's such a big round of footy from top to bottom. Round six is going to be an absolute cracker. But, Jay, I think the news cycle, from your point of view, has been dominated in the last 24 hours or so by Charlie Cameron and the Good Bloke Clause.
Extraordinary result on Tuesday night, Charlie Cameron getting let off. By now, we're probably all familiar that he used a character reference from Eddie Betts, who must have been very convincing, because after 207 games and no suspensions, he did have five fines. He got off that dangerous tackle charge on Jake Lever. Now, clubs all week have been saying it's the most bewildering tribunal decision of the past decade. How do you draw the line on a good character or not? Where? How do you deliver any sort of consistency on this? Has everyone absolutely scratching their heads? And it is shorter than Wink's odds that this will be removed from the AFL tribunal guidebook, law book at the end of the year.
99 cents, is it?
Pardon? Dollar one. This will not still be a live thing for next season. However, we do have to contend with it for the rest of the year. We're going to have a listen to Geelong coach Chris Scott, who leaves us in absolutely no doubt what he thinks about it. This is Geelong coach Chris Scott.
If a player with a similar record from your team, would you be expecting to use that loophole as well?
Oh, well, you have to now. Whether you agree with it or not, it's incumbent on you to use that. It would be offensive to any of our players to suggest that they're of lesser character than the two players in recent history who have successfully used that clause, because there are plenty of others who have asked for it and been denied, which is highly offensive.
So that's Chris Scott there saying, well, from here on for the rest of the year, any of their veterans, etc., who are up on a tribunal charge, they'll be talking about what a good bloke they are. So in a time in football when we're so meticulous and so pedantic, you know, using all the replays and breaking the incidents down and trying to be consistent, this is surely an outdated rule, Isaac and Kate.
Well, I just want to start this by saying, personally, and this has got no other influence, personally, I don't think Charlie Cameron should have been suspended for the act that occurred. But then it was the one-game ban. They went to the tribunal, all that, da-da-da-da-da. And then to hear Chris Scott articulate it the way he did was absolutely perfect. And not because I've got a relationship with Scotty, but the way who are we to judge people's character when it's a football act? And I just thought, yeah, and then how he just worded a couple of those little comments was, I just thought it was perfect. And to me, I thought that was already out of the game. I didn't realise that you could still use good character at the tribunal. I thought it was purely footy act and that's what we're judging.
It's a throwback to the 1990s.
Yeah, I would think the only time that you'd maybe use it was if there was an act of something off the ball or something was said or they reacted in a way. That would be the only time I could see it being used in that situation. This is a technical tackle where he's twisted in him and they've deemed it to be that he made contact with the ground, he pinned the arms, that was the ruling. They're not questioning that. Charlie Cameron pled guilty to that. So your character doesn't come into that, does it?
And still,
it's not a homicide case.
No, no. Not at all.
And he still had been fined five times, so it's not completely...
You can get fined and still be good character.
Well, yeah, I guess you can. I mean,
I had lots of fun.
Yeah, the essence of the rule is about, I guess, your good character and your good record on the field. So now, any time any person stands in front of the tribunal, what you're going to get for the rest of the season is
because we're the football act. I don't think we're judging the character of the person.
Well, we shouldn't be. That's the point of it. It should be about the football.
And just because someone tackles rough doesn't mean they're a bad person either.
Exactly.
And what now happens with the Brownlow medal, clearly? So now it's can become a factor in the Brownlow medal. And so Charlie Cameron is eligible, but so clearly could other players. It's an absolute mess. Senior people at clubs this week telling me that it was genuinely one of the most extraordinary things they've seen in the game.
I think it's simply a loophole that no one remembered that Brisbane have dug up
used.
Well, 100%. And now the AFL are like, wow, that still exists. Yep. We need to get rid of it at the end of the season.
So Dills is like, Gil, you got rid of this, buddy.
You told me that you did this.
What, you're sitting in your house in Toorak and we've still got this? What's going on?
Gil's on the farewell tour at that stage. But then what happens if... So for someone like... Let's just use Jordan DeGoey as an example, who's had some misdemeanors in the past, none of which are...
No, they would have added a week. No,
but this is what happens.
He's probably not getting the discount.
So is that not even something that he and his team can use when they go to the tribunal, if they go to the tribunal?
Well, I don't know if this is letter of the law. I just heard them talking about it on 360 last night, that it was 200 games and no suspensions was apparently the benchmark. I don't know if they've made that up, if it's part of this clause that no one knew about. And there was 35 players on that list. So I would presume, if that's what they're looking at, there's 35 players that have the potential to be suspended and then be good blokes so they get to play.
I don't think those 35 players get to use that clause anymore.
Well, they can't change it till the end of the year. So that's the thing as well. They can't change it. No, they can't.
Well, poor Michael Christian has been trying to argue that there isn't a Toby tax. You know, they don't hold things against players who have records. And now we're delivered the opposite, which does go to the character quite clearly. So it has been a really head-scratching decision. As I said off the top, it won't exist next year.
It shouldn't, but we're just going to have a bit of a joke between now and the end of the year about these sorts of things, and every time it comes up. Jay, I know that you've got a close relationship with Pendles, and if you wanted to get your hands on some Collingwood stuff that you probably could at the drop of a hat for you or family or friends, but from what I'm hearing, there's a lot more Collingwood memorabilia that might start to become available to the general public.
I find this really quite sad, to be honest, and it only really emerged today, but Nathan Buckley's all of his football memorabilia and accolades from his incredibly glittering career are being auctioned off. And when I first read this story, I thought, why on earth would he do that? And as I read through it, it is part of his divorce settlement. So Nathan Buckley, the Collingwood champions, all his trophies and signed jumpers and Brownlow medal and Norm Smith have all been dragged in as part of his assets, as I understand it. And I'm no divorce lawyer, but...
it's probably good to know just in case, isn't it?
Yeah. clearly, he's...
Well, you're working in the wrong field.
He's, you know, throughout that legal process, all of his football items have been technically classified as some sort of asset. So therefore, that they've all been valued and are now being auctioned off. So, I mean, I've... As I said, I'm no divorce lawyer, but surely you're entitled to be able to keep your trophies and jumpers. For example, he's been able to buy back his things that are most important to him. Clearly, his 03 Brownlow, his 02 Norm Smith, his six-time Copeland trophies, but up to 200 other items, including his one of his signed grand final jumpers, is having to be auctioned off. Potentially there might be a thing there where Collingwood might be able to get, or the AFL might be able to buy some of these things to keep them in the museums.
Is Eddie sniffing around?
Well, he must be. He must be.
Jay's sniffing around. Oh,
I'm certainly not. But I find this quite sad, to be honest.
Well, this is quite timely for me because I'm getting married next year. So, I just got to be really careful.
Prenup.
All those things that I won. In my illustrious
career. What's that line out of Gold Digger? We want prenup. We want prenup.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so Kate, just be careful.
Have you got anything to both of you? Is there any piece of memorabilia, not that we're making light of what's gone on here with Nathan Buckley, but is there one bit of memorabilia that's more valuable than anything else to either of you?
Probably just my dogs. Yeah, that's it. Nothing. Didn't win a thing.
Well, ice rating ring costs the most.
When I used to sell ice creams at the Geelong Basketball Arena back in the day, the Harlem Globetrotters.
He wouldn't have sold them. Have a look at it. They wouldn't have got the sale.
That's true, too. Chocolate magnet.
Oh, sorry.
It only cost $2 at the time. I got a Harlem Globetrotters signed basketball, and that would be my thing, my most personal. What about you, Jack?
Did you sign ice creams?
Sell ice creams.
Did you really?
Yes.
I'm not across this. How old were you when this was happening, Jack?
About 15. Make about $20 for a couple of work.
How'd you get in
hours.
That business?
Pardon?
How'd you get in that business?
I don't know. It's what you do when you're 15, don't you, Isaac?
Kathy's questions are up next. Brendan Goddard from the Saints will join us very shortly as well. But all I got told in my ear was that we're heading to the break with some special music for Jay. I'm not sure he's seen the funny side.
Mr. Whitty!
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Saints are out on the ground at Marvel Stadium. Bulldogs not too far away as well from joining them. We are getting closer to the bounce of the ball, about 40 minutes away. It's the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops are proud sponsors of the St Kilda Saints. Jay-Z Clark's got all of the news that you need to know. Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy and Jack Heverin. We've got Nate Brown joining us for the call of the game a little bit later on. But, well, none of us have got our own segment. Well, Jay's got... brings all the news and all that sort of stuff, and we make sure we carve off a nice amount of time for Jay. But we unveiled something new last week, Kate, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, and got no feedback, so it must have been all right.
Let's do it again.
Okay, remember what it was. Now on the Thursday Rob.
So a bit of spice in this one.
What I really want to know is...
it's Kathy's questions.
Some people get it, some people don't, you know? Well, we've had a very serious start to the show, so it's time to lighten things up a little bit with Kathy's questions. So we're going to go on the same vein of what we were just talking about with character references at the tribunal. So just going around the box, I just want to ask, who would you least like to give you a character reference?
Oh, someone give me a character
as
reference?
As in talk on your behalf about your character.
Oh, gee, you put us on the spot. Probably Patrick Dangerfield, to be honest.
Are you talking about anyone?
Yep, anyone.
Poor BT, I feel like. Really deliver a negative assessment.
You missed it before, Jay. He came into the box. He had a little look around BT, and I think it's probably lucky for you you were on air at the time, I reckon. He just had that look in the eye like he was... you could smell a bit of blood in the water.
Blood in the water.
Not for the first time.
Well, I would say my two best mates. So I haven't been married yet, but one of the reasons that I'd never get married in that sort of formal sense is because the spray that I would cop from my two best mates would be nasty. If it was someone from within the Triple M team, definitely Bill. Because for some reason he calls me nude nut, and even though he's got no hair, all these things that he calls me, he's in far worse nick than I am. But so probably Bill.
Yeah, that's fair. And who would you most like then to give you a character reference? Who would give you the most glowing report? You'd get off the suspension just like Charlie Cameron did.
Oh. Oh, I don't know. I don't think anyone likes me. Maybe my dad. Who would... in a footy sense.
Speaking about you, mate, and Jezza. You and Jezza are pretty close.
Actually,
right?
Yeah, Jezza would have my back.
Yeah,
Jezza Cameron?
Yeah, he'd fight tooth and nail until it got too hard and then he'd give up.
What about you, Jay?
Who would I call on? I don't know, probably.
Pendles?
It has to be Pendles, doesn't it?
Yeah, but even he can be pretty blunt. He gets the blank stare on it.
The eyes glaze over.
Yeah, he puts up with my crap. I don't know. Probably my mum, to be honest. She's always got my back.
Well, before tonight, I would have said you, Kate, but you left me out of the podcast. So I'm thinking we're not as tight as what we were. No, I'd go to the people's caller. I'd go to Baz. Oh,
That has to be everyone's answer, doesn't it? Barry Denner, he would give the most glowing report. I mean, he talks positively about the Bombers, so he can talk positively about anything. Next one we've got. What talks louder, money or wins? So if you were going to a football club, what's going to talk louder to you, the amount that they're paying you or the amount of wins that you're probably likely to get at the club?
Don't point at us. This is your question, Isaac.
Well, you did it.
You had the option.
I think my career pretty much settles the argument that win.
Money.
Yep.
It certainly wasn't money.
Or are you the taco ad and why not have both?
No. I think there's sacrifices you need to make to be in a successful side, and I'd take wins every day of the week over money.
And that's where we've seen some North Melbourne have some trouble attracting top-tier talent. Hawthorne last year missed out on Asava Radigalea and Benny McAvoy at the bottom end of the ladder. So I think that players are making moves because of the likelihood of team success that is – Well, generally,
the one thing I will say around it is being in a successful winning environment is a hell of a lot more fun than being in the alternative.
Mm. And Jay, we've spoken about this before, but I know West Coast have got more money than God, but I think that's going to be one of their biggest problems, isn't it? It's trying to recruit when there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
They have the one draw card, though, of trying to recruit players to go back home. Yeah. So, for example, if you are a player who really wants to go back home to the western side of the country, that is something, but it will be tricky.
Next one we've got. So is Caleb Daniel good enough to be playing AFL football? If not at the Bulldogs, somewhere else.
17 out of 18 teams he'd be playing in. I'm absolutely certain of that. I reckon he would play. What team wouldn't he get a game at, Isaac? Don't look at me like that.
I don't know.
He'd play in Geelong's team for sure.
Maybe. Geelong like big bodies.
Well, he's not soft.
I'm not saying he's soft at all. I really like the way Caleb Daniel plays. And I'm not sure why he's not playing at the Western Bulldogs. He's a beautiful user of the
I think it's because he's slow, or he's perceived to be slow. And they've got
that. So then they've made decisions to change the mix of that. I think Caleb Daniel could be a real asset to some clubs, but I'm not sure if every club in the competition would be after him.
I think the way it stands, he'll be elsewhere. But if Bevo goes, it might be different.
Yeah, I think he's super valuable. I'm not sure he makes every team, but just about every team.
Whose team wouldn't he make? He'd play for Melbourne. He'd take Brayshaw's spot, I reckon.
Yeah, he'd play for Melbourne.
On the wing.
Pardon?
On the wing.
He'd play anywhere. Back, flank, forward, flank, wing. He's one of the best ball users in the competition, is he not?
Yeah, he is. He's definitely one of the best decision makers.
You don't, just because you are fast, mate, you don't have to have leg speed fast to be able to move the ball
well.
No, but
you just can't get a player, and this is the thing, you just can't get a player and then just throw him anywhere. Like, there's horses for courses, and I think you see that with the best teams.
Well, are we seeing that now with the Bulldogs? Is that why he's not playing?
Well, I think they're unhappy with how they've performed over the last 2 years, so they're looking to change something. And both McRae and Daniel are big possession getters for the Western Bulldogs, and I wouldn't say their offense is absolutely fired over the last 2 years.
I think what we watched tonight is the running power of St Kilda is the ace up their sleeve, right? They've got the leg speed and the running power.
And the game has changed.
The game has gone to that, right? So that's where the Western Bulldogs, who potentially don't have that leg speed on the outside, are trying to balance their team. That's why McRae's lost his spot. That's why Daniel's out of the team at the moment, I think.
All right, two that are in both their respective teams at the moment that are out here tonight that I'm really excited to watch, mainly because I just love small forwards because I was one, so that's very self-absorbed of me. But two of the best ones I think we've got at the moment, well, namely one, I think Jack Higgins is the best in the competition so far this year. If we're counting Toby Green, that is sort of that mid-hybrid, if we're not putting him in the small forward category.
Yep.
Who's better, Higgins or Waitman? You get one. Who would you choose?
Oh, great question. I'll have Waitman. I think he's electrifying. He's not as consistent, possibly, but I'd have Waitman all day.
Numbers this year, I'll be taking Jack Higgins every day of the week. I think they're 2.2 goals each, but then in every other stat, Jack Higgins is pretty much doubling Waitman. I think Waitman's that flary you turn the TV on to have a look at, but what Jack Higgins is delivering in a forward line that's certainly not firing, I think he's playing outstanding.
Yeah, and I think Ross has really got through to Jack Higgins now about that it's more than just kicking goals. His tackle pressure, his pressure axis through the roof. Yeah, I think we're seeing something really good happening here with Jack Higgins.
I think what you said about Waitman is symptomatic of this whole Bulldog side. You look at their top 8-10 players. Some of them are their most inconsistent. That's English, that's Norton, that's Ugel-Hagen, that's Waitman. So their A-graders or perceived A-graders are the ones who fluctuate the most, which I think is the frustration.
Oh, no, there.
Who's that?
Waitman.
Or the A-grade talent.
He kicked six against North Melbourne, so that bumped his average up. I agree with what you're saying.
You don't say he's in that bracket yet, and I think that's probably fair.
All right, the last one we got for you all. Can you have 35 disposals or more and have zero impact on a football game?
Yep.
Yes. Darcy Parrish had 20 the other week against Port Adelaide for 54 metres gained.
He may as well score backwards.
You'd average 50 metres per possession, Isaac.
Yeah, well, I was big on that, and that was what my game was built on. And we talk about how the game has changed, and it's changed where those possessions that are irrelevant now, you can genuinely see them where, and I don't want to go back to the 90s and that, but there were accumulators that got lots of possessions, and that was the game a bit, and you didn't probably take as much ground as quickly as what teams do now. when teams have midfields especially that aren't impactful in the sense of hitting the scoreboard or creating score-type plays, then it's highlighted. And you see with Adelaide last weekend, their midfield looked redundant, and then they throw Rankin and Rochelle in there and they look like the most explosive midfield in the competition.
Good segment, Kate.
Thank you very much. Starting to really
gain some traction now.
Thank you. We've had 2 weeks in a row, so you never know what could be around the corner, but we'll just keep plugging away with the questions.
If we get another go, we'll keep going.
Just keep doing it until someone says that you can't do it anymore.
That's it.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Let's get downstairs and have a chat to Brendan Goddard from the Saints, because it's been a really, really nice start of the season for St Kilda. A couple of margins could have gone the other way and it could have been even better, BJ. Are you confident that you're in pretty good shape at the moment?
How are you guys and girls? Are we in good shape?
You tell us.
We've played some good footy at times, but we've been quite disappointed with... We just haven't been able to string four quarters together. I know it's a bit of the old cliche, but it's a matter of fact, isn't it? So I think most of the guys and girls out there that have seen us play would probably feel the same way, particularly Saints supporters. So it's been a little bit frustrating in a sense, but we're kind of glass half empty. We've still got a lot of improvement to do, and if we are able to string four quarters together, I think we all believe and we know we've got confidence that our best is good enough.
BJ, great to speak to you.
Jay-Z.
We missed you in the media, my friend, doing great things at the Saints there, I see. Hey, I'm looking forward to this game. I've got a bit of a question mark over the prep because you've had two short back-to-backs and a trip back in a state last week against a very good team in GWS. Has it been a light week on the track? How are the boys' legs?
Well, naturally, mate, after a week or a four-day lead into a game, because today's not really... Well, it is a recovery day, but it's 5 days. Yeah, so it's a little bit tough.
Do you train at all? That might sound silly.
It's just like we call them T1ers in a training one. So it's essentially a T1 is their main session, which, yeah, it's not much because you can't afford to be doing a hell of a lot. As we all know, that early in the week and those first three... 3 days, it's normally 3, 4, or 5 days, but in this instance, it's 3 days is all about recovery and getting yourself right. So, yeah, it's a light run where the guys obviously then get their heart rate up and get their high speed running in just to tick that off. But then in terms of volume, it's very light. So, but like most, as we all know, we all travelled a couple of weeks ago to Gather Round, so that was great. And then we backed it up with GWS. So that was really only a short stint to Canberra. That was up late the night before or afternoon and then come back straight after the game. So that was convenient. But, I think as a player, a couple of travels and short breaks, you kind of feel the pinch of it. Probably after about 3 weeks, I felt as a player, if you had, you know, a couple of six or three 6 days in a row, which happened rarely, but that you kind of feel it on the third one a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so the boys have recovered well and thankfully we, most boys got through training. So... They're under the same bracket as well, coming off a short break as well.
Well, certainly, Jay-Z, even on a light week, they do more training than you do in 1 week.
Oh, dear.
Quick clip there.
You haven't obviously seen him of late. But
pretends he wants to ask a question, but it's just a drive-by for Jay-Z.
Yeah, well, I feel for you, Jay-Z, don't worry. Isaac, he...
I'm an easy target, BJ.
A few of us look at food and put on calories. Isaac's in that other boat where he can eat whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants. He's still going to be stick thin.
And he's that happy with his joke, so you should say that.
Hey, we can't help it, mate. Jay-Z can't help it, mate. You're just lucky that your parents gave you good genes.
BJ, it looks like you unearthed another one last week. Hugo Garcia was obviously the super sub, came on in the fourth quarter and really changed things up for you guys going through the midfield. And obviously, as the midfield coach, you would have seen a lot of him. Is there just more upside to come from the young man?
Yeah, he's a pretty impressive kid, a very intense kid. I didn't think I ever met anyone as tense as Matheus Filipoons, who I call him Serge. Hugo walked through the door. Sergio, he didn't know who Serge. I said, you know who Sergio Garcia is? Because he goes, why Serge? And he goes, no idea, never heard of him. So,
have you met anyone as intense as yourself?
Well, that's what I was going to go there early, but then it was Matheus and then him. So, he's great.
I'd already had my one drive by. So,
yeah, you stay back in the back seat, Isaac. But a great kid. Like, come straight in. He couldn't train for the first month and a half, and and knowing him now, it just would have been eating away at him so hard. And then we had to pull him up a number of times at training because he was just going too hard and he was going to hurt somebody. So
wow.
The kid just knows nothing but 100%. And we knew we were going to get that, even if we thought about bringing him in 2 or 3 weeks ago, he's going to run, chase, tackle, put his head over the footy. And he's got a bit to work on just with his running patterns in general plays, team defence, all that kind of thing. But, yeah, great, really, really good foundation, just an appetite and willingness to want to get better every day. Carries a footy around 24/7, loves it that much, but, he just wants to get the best out of himself. So he's a great kid.
Well, I'm glad you said appetite because I had a question. Who are the pretzels in the St Kilda room safe now that you're a coach? Geez. Are they safe?
Nah, Jay-Z ate them all.
BJ, on a serious note, we mentioned off the top that you've lost a couple of close or three close games this year, and I think in your wins you've averaged 11 and in your losses you've averaged 10 goals. Have you been working on your inside 50 entries at all?
Yeah, have you looked at the stats? Or you just...
No, I have genuinely looked at the stats. I've covered a few St Kilda games.
Good. And you're doing your homework, I was just testing you.
I always watch games at Marnica, and I was a little bit disappointed you couldn't get over the line.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, that's a good point, Isaac. We just felt like our front half use, particularly as we all know, that last kick inside 50 has really been letting us down. And it's not through a lack of opportunity. There's a couple of games against your old mob where, they smacked us and had 22 more inside 50. So we didn't have as many opportunities that game. But I think after that, we just felt like we've had plenty of opportunities, particularly in that front half. We're just letting ourselves down with, either decision-making or disposal or something going wrong. So, and particularly last week in the second half, in the third quarter where we had 16 inside 50s and we had a bunch of really good looks and time and space to make good decisions if we didn't. So, that's something we have been working on and hopefully, and I was saying that, we're working on it pretty hard over a pre-season as well. So we're just waiting, I guess, and kind of tweaking things just so that hard work is going to finally pay off. And we believe it will because we have been working on it, been talking about it in reviews and aim is to get more efficient in the front half.
And is getting more efficient getting in certain players' hands or is it more a team structure set up?
Oh, the answer to that. It's always good to have it in good ball users' hands, but there's a bit of both when in our case. So a bit of work between the forwards and then that connection piece is what I'm trying to say with the guys with the ball in hand and our forwards. So, there's a bit of both from our end, but obviously having it in really good ball users' hands makes up for a lot.
And a big job for Anthony Caminiti, who comes in for Max King, who didn't get up after that knee issue last week in Canberra. Speaking of St Kilda assistant coach and former superstar Brennan Goddard, BJ, on a scale of Cuddly Ross to Prickly Ross, where have you got the big man at the moment?
Well,
just his emotional sort of vibe and tolerance levels.
He's been pretty good.
Not too cranky.
His press conferences are very good.
He's the best.
As they always are. Very composed. But it's good. I've seen a different side, not only him, but to kind of coaching. But as a player, you don't really get to appreciate or understand the work that goes in behind the scenes, and even pre-season or training week and what goes into organising training sessions and a few other things. So and then you got the game reviews and line reviews being midfield backs and forwards and all that kind of thing. So there's been some robust discussions and feedback given at all levels, and that's no different to us as assistant coach, and particularly in my case too, being a first year assistant coach and kind of going in kind of blind in the first couple of rounds and not knowing what to expect. I've asked a lot of questions of Lenny and a few of the other boys, but it wasn't until you're really in it you actually know what goes on, and the robust discussions had at match committee and team reviews and all that kind of thing.
BJ, speaking of Lenny, he's back, you're back, there's a few of the other Saints boys that are around the club in various capacities. Ross calls it the St Kilda soup kitchen. Who else is sort of sniffing around at the moment to try and get a little bit of work?
There's plenty of past players coming into the club, which is really, really good to see. I'm not sure if they're sniffing around for a job or not, but I think that's a real positive thing that, since the bunch of us has come back, that past players, and particularly guys through our era, have felt, a more of a connection with the place, and that's no disrespect to what happened previously. I think it's just a natural connection that now knowing, obviously, the senior coach and a number of the assistant coaches, and you know David Misson as well, a couple other people, Tim Barber, our doctor, Ian Stone is still there. So there's a lot of connection at the place now, and it's good to see guys coming back. And they've actually made mention a bunch of guys that they're now you know back watching the Saints because they've kind of turned a blind eye to it over the last kind of 5, 6, 7 years or however long they've been retired. So that's a real positive.
BJ, we have got to let you go, mate, but can I just ask whether you've mentioned internally this week the focus and spotlight on the other mob? Like they're under real pressure at the moment. They're in the back page of every newspaper on every radio station.
I don't read newspapers.
Yes, you do, BJ.
No, I don't.
You would pore over them. But you'd be expecting a pretty strong start from the Bulldogs, wouldn't you? And do you think Ross will touch on that with your guys, knowing the external focus that's on the Bulldogs? Is that a thing?
Is it a thing? What?
Will it be referenced? Will it be mentioned?
No, like we, in all honesty, and Isaac would be able to back me up here. I'm not sure Hawthorn back in their days they were that good.
Let's keep winning.
They didn't worry about the opposition, but we expect the best from every team we play each week. And of course, there is a bit of noise. You guys in the media, and you in particular, make some noise around it. So,
That never helps.
Pull your head in, Jay.
That never helps when you're coming up a team when you're whacking them between the eyes during the week for us. But we're well aware of the situation that they're in, and yeah, I honestly don't read papers, but you hear all the noise as well. But we expect the best regardless of who we play every week. So our approach isn't going to change because we've got the old approach anywhere, anytime, anyhow. So it doesn't matter who we're playing and where it is or whatever. We expect their best.
BJ, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time tonight and good luck.
Thanks, guys.
On you, BJ.
Brendan Goddard joining us on the boundary for Bob, Jay and T-Marts. They've got a great buy three, get one free, plus instant cashback deals. Call or shop online today. T's and C's apply.
Has he been right? Did he suddenly got much longer in his answers, BJ?
I know what he does sound like. He sounds like Ross.
He does.
We expect the best.
Yeah. Anywhere, anytime.
Which is good. He's building that culture at St Kilda, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can deliver tonight.
Nah, it's what you want as well, the coaching group to be really united. So I know we're joking saying he sounds like a little carbon copy of Ross, but you want all of your assistants to be on the same page, and something we'll probably touch on in a bit with what's going on potentially at the Bulldogs.
Let's rock and roll. It's the Saints and the Bulldogs tonight from Marvel Stadium. Jay-Z, thank you for your work tonight. You enjoy the game.
Great to be with you.
The Triple M Footy Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops, proud sponsors of the St Kilda Saints. Drink responsibly.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.